One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast 387's After Show. Here we are. It's the After Show. A few moments ago, we wrapped up the regular show, in which we also had special guest Madison Walker talking a little bit about what she's going to be doing in 2022. Also telling us about the various hats that she wears both on and off the disc golf course. And sure enough, got to say it, just a few weeks away from the regular old season getting going.
I don't even want to think about it.
Dang, less than a month? I mean, do we consider the All-Star weekend part of the regular season?
Nope.
Okay, because it hasn't officially kicked off the tour. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Okay. So, as many of you are, if you don't know this, you're a few weeks behind. Disc Golf Con has been officially postponed. So, we're going to see the All-Star weekend taking place, I believe, the 11th, 12th, 13th, sometime in that time frame. The following weekend, we will not see Disc Golf Con, as I'm looking at a schedule. And then following after that is when we will see the Las Vegas Challenge, I believe, starting up on February 24th. Yeah, there we go. The Thursday. The 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th. It's all right around the corner, Johnny.
I'm one of the few people that's probably not looking forward to it.
Is it fair to say that you have things to get organized and in place?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just in general. It's not a surprise.
Are you done with disc golf, Johnny?
No, not at all.
You just created this fancy fantasy league thing.
No, and that's... honestly, I'd like to spend more time dedicated to that. It's no surprise that, you know, we started Smashbox many years ago doing the live broadcast stuff, and I don't plan on leaving Smashbox anytime soon because I enjoy it. But the live broadcasting stuff, my goal this year is to be able to confidently hand it off to somebody else. And I would like to reduce the number of weekends I'm doing it. Probably not step away. I don't foresee that happening. There are certain things that I do that other people just aren't qualified to do, and I don't know if they would ever be qualified to do.
Oh, I think you're replaceable.
I'm replaceable in a lot of aspects. Trust me. But with some of the new technology that we're looking at diving into, doing cloud-based stuff and things like that, there's a level of expertise that I have that it's not easy to teach, as opposed to some of the things that for production that a lot of people do. You know, cloud, it's one thing to bring in someone awesome like Ian Lunger out of Portland, who does ultimate directing, and he did a lot of the Disc Golf Pro Tour directing this past year. You know, that's fine and dandy, and he's better than me at it, hands down, not gonna lie. He's a better director. He has more experience, and he stepped into the role very well. But there are just, like I said, technologically speaking, there's some things that only I do that I don't know if I would even, if I could even teach somebody, or if I did, what the, you know, the time it would take. I think I'll always be a part of the pro tour. It's just a matter of to what degree. So things like that. And again, I'm not leaving. No one's getting rid of me. I can't. You can't. I mean, you could.
We'll find. If there's a will, there's a way.
That's true. If you try hard enough, you can. But yeah. So, and I get this way, I think, every year at the beginning of the season. I dread the number of weekends I have in front of me, but then they seem to go by very fast, and they're a lot of fun, and it's exciting, and this and that. But it's this time when you're just like, I don't know. I feel like my summer is ending and I'm ready to go back to school. You're just kind of like, oh, really? I got it every day. I got to go to school. I don't get these. I don't get this nice free summertime as a kid anymore. That's how I'm feeling right now. Once I'm into it, you see all your friends again, you know, you just do it.
Well, as we said, jam packed. I think the Disc Golf Pro Tour, I don't know if there's any positions that are still available. I know, both the PDGA and the Pro Tour had call outs for some open positions. And I know there's been a number of people added to the, I was going to say the roster, but added to the staff and or, consultants, payrolls, whatever you want to call it, all those different things. So certainly getting geared up here for 2022 and looking forward to it. Let's sidetrack just for a moment to the other, some other sport we saw.
No, let's not.
A little bit of a heartbreaker if you are, in fact, a Packers fan, a little bit of a heartbreaker.
Or
a
Bills
that
fan.
Went down. with regard, yeah, Saturday was the Packer game, of course, in which the Packers were leading the whole time, lost on the last kick, blah, blah, blah. And then naturally then, you know, the rumor mill wastes no time to get all fired up about Rodgers and
he even said
retirement
today,
or moving and yeah, all the things he has to think about, which is the best answer ever, right?
Just correct.
A lot of things to process.
A lot of things to process and think about. He doesn't know what he's going to do. I personally hope he comes back, because I don't have a lot of faith in Jordan Love, but we haven't also seen him very much, so it's hard to really put your faith into that. The Packers special teams played like trash. 49ers took advantage of that, as they should. You know, 49ers offense was kind of garbage. Packers defense played phenomenal, but the Packers offense didn't play very well either after the first quarter. So it was not. If you're a Packers fan, it wasn't that great. If you're a 49ers fan, congratulations. I feel much better than if I were a Bills fan. So
yeah, so here's the full disclosure. I didn't watch, apparently big mistake, I didn't watch 1 minute, not one snap of the game that is being revered as one of the greatest roller coaster rides of all time and everything else that everyone's talked about. I don't believe I'm about to say this. I have been meaning to, which shows the importance since I haven't done it yet. I've been meaning to go back and look for the 10-minute recap version of it, because it has been, I mean, more than ever. Facebook blew up.
It's so funny, and I'm going to say this because it completely draws a parallel to disc golf, but I don't think you get the same.
No. I just want to see it because I've literally seen zero plays. That's why. I'm not saying I'm going to get the same feels. I know that. But I literally have no idea how any of it went down.
I mean, it was just touchdown after touchdown.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was like very little defense was being played, but that's what made it exciting. You know, with like 2 minutes to go, Josh Allen goes up, you know, they've got like a...
Oh, don't spoil it.
They got a touchdown lead. And, you know, it was such a great game. And then, you know, the Chiefs go down and score. And then there's... You know, with 2 minutes, and then the Bills go down and score and get a 3-point lead with 13 seconds left. 13 seconds, and the Chiefs are able to get halfway down the field close enough for a field goal. It was, again, bad defenses being played, which made for an exciting game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, I got to watch it. It was a lot of fun and exciting. It brought the weekend up a little bit after Saturday's game, and I just feel... I feel for the Bills teams, considering, you know, it went to overtime and then they lost on, they again, they lost on the worst overtime rules imaginable in the NFL, as the Packers fans have been screaming about for, you know, 5-6 years since we lost in the championship game in overtime to some really crappy rules. But, you know, it is. I think each team should have to play offense and defense once. Not just, oh, my offense scored first because we won the coin flip. Sorry.
Yeah, it is funny how obviously outcomes of seasons feel like they can come down to a coin flip.
Yeah, and this game, it did feel like that. Like, there are some games where if the Packers went into overtime, I wouldn't have felt that way. If we'd have lost, obviously, I'm sure I would have a different feeling. But that wasn't a game where you just felt like no matter what, someone was going to score because there was so little scoring in the game. But the Chiefs and the Bills, man, it was haymaker after haymaker. And just when you think that something, you know, it's third and long and Josh Allen just, you know, throws the perfect pass to the perfect receiver who scored 4 touchdowns that night. I forget, Gabriel, was that who it was? Anyway, it felt like no one was covering him all night. So it's a sport. Sports are sports.
Well, yeah. And one more time, I'm not expecting to relive any of the feels. I just literally had no idea how it went down. So that's why I would be looking for a recap. Ace Run says the game should still be going.
Yeah,
and you saw a lot of really...
It would be.
You saw, not only, of course, a lot of remarks about that game, and I think one of my favorite ones is somebody said the rest of the season is just going to be a best of 7 series between them. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, we quite literally, it feels like we watched the Super Bowl. The rest of these games pale in comparison unless something amazing happens. Even the Super Bowl with all its hype, I don't feel will be as good of a game as this divisional game. So, meh.
All right. Well, that took place. Did anybody flop for Jake Paul or anything this weekend? Was there any of that boxing? I don't think there was any celebrity stuff. I don't think there was. Was there anything else going on out in the world of, I'll say, pop culture? Anything else we saw in social media? When was that released? I know, Sing.
I was like, Up To.
Sing. Yeah. Didn't you?
We rented it.
Yeah.
We were actually,
when was that first released?
Yeah, you didn't know that because I didn't tell you that. But yeah,
I think you did. I think you mentioned it. That's how I knew. Didn't it cost like $28 or $24? Yeah.
Yeah, but that wasn't me. I did not tell you that. But yeah, it cost $25 to rent it. So
maybe we share accounts on some things.
You could have.
That you don't know I log into.
Maybe, but no. I think you're thinking of somebody else.
Okay, maybe.
But we did actually. We did the other night rent Sing 2 rather than going to the theater and see it. And it was good. It was a fun show. I didn't like it as much as the first Sing, but I also knew less of the songs other than the U2 songs. But that's just my generation. As opposed to the first Sing cartoon, and ultimately, obviously, rent it for the kids and this and that. Sat around and watched it with them and my wife, and it was good. It was a pleasurable cartoon to watch. It didn't make me cringe. It wasn't cringy, as the kids say.
Okay. Ray is out on the board saying Paige Pierce's documentary trailer is out and pretty cool. Terry has his voice featured a couple of times. I don't know that I've seen that trailer that you speak of. I thought I heard somebody...
Yeah, it was released like 2 weeks ago. I think we watched it after the podcast the other night.
Oh, yeah. We did. I apologize. Thank you. Yeah, okay. There's a few details I recall.
Getting senile here.
I know, I am. Excited. I don't know much. What the timeline looks like on that. I guess that would be good for an update. I'll have to ask her about that and see where that stands. I know there was a huge push to possibly get things submitted for something late last year, but I think that deadline had come and gone, so maybe we're going to see something for this year. Yeah, thanks. You guys are reminding me of where I'm going, what I'm coming and doing. I appreciate that. As Sam says, you talked about it, Terry.
This guy.
Today, quick side note, I spent a few trips back and forth. If you need any more disc shippers, as in my disc in a box, picked up another 10,000 or so of those. So I've got plenty. I'm fully restocked. that's always a fun day. I just happened to pick the coldest day of the year so far to make sure that I was schlepping boxes back and forth and loading and unloading them into various places, but all restocked on those if you need any. All right. Stupid Dakini. I can't read that.
Sure. That's close enough.
Dakini. Okay. Anyway, Circle 2 should follow the same rules as Circle 1 in Pro Tour events. Thoughts?
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Essentially meaning you can't fall forward.
Correct. That there'd be no falling putts in Circle 2.
And would this be only, as maybe said here, only at Pro Tour events?
No. I think if
certain tiers?
I think if you change it, you change it throughout the entire landscape of our sport.
Okay.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't particularly mind the rules now. We've talked about jump putts versus step putts and how close they can be, and if people are, you know, falling on the wrong side of the rules at times, it's so difficult to tell. And my opinion generally is, if the rule is so difficult to determine whether you're breaking it or not, it's probably a bad rule. So maybe that rule should be changed so that you can't do that. Or they change the Circle 2 or the jump putt rule or whatever that may be. But this particular question involves, you know, whether Circle 2 should be the same as Circle 1. Then there would be no Circle 1. That would just be one big Circle 1 then, right? Yeah. If the rules are the same, why designate Circle 1 and Circle 2
other than
distance?
Yeah, purely for some statistics. Here's one of the biggest challenges to that, and I'm not necessarily opposed to it still. I feel like one of the biggest challenges to that is 66 feet, 20 meters, takes so much longer and is so much more tough to determine than 33 feet is. Yep. 32.8, whatever, if you want to get technical, than 10 meters.
Now, is that...
That, only, I think, is part of a big challenge.
Is that only because we've done Circle 1 for so much that you have a general idea of how far it is?
Yeah.
So in we'll just play pretend, in 10 years, when everybody's used to this Circle 2, do you think we could look at it and be like, oh, that's
no, right. And I don't think it's just a matter of getting used to it. I think it's a matter of, tell me where Circle 2 is on every hole at Maple Hill.
Yeah.
Because
it could be very difficult.
Very tough to determine, because almost every one of those greens is somewhat protected. I understand what you're saying. Could we get used to kind of eyeing up 66 feet? Yeah, you could probably have some idea. But just think how relatively quick and easy it is to determine at that, you know, those 10 paces or 11 paces, as opposed to trying to step it up. Or, I mean, just think how tough it is right now. I have a pretty good idea, if somebody's 27 or 34 feet, all right, 57 and 64 feet. Yeah. That would be so tough to have a finely tuned eye for your, for the competitors and for anyone else to regularly know that.
As someone said, think of the extra time it would take to walk it off every time.
That's kind of my point. Like, it's relatively quick. You can get those 11 steps in or whatever, or 14 in my case. No, you could get those 11 steps in and still, you know, probably be near your time, your 30 seconds. Did I rant a couple weeks ago? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't, but shut up when you're out there watching golf. This is just a generic statement. I've noticed this a lot. I think I did this in my post-production coverage of an event recently. I love that we have fans. I love that we have enthusiastic people. But if you're watching live golf on site, just like, do it quieter. Don't feel like you're using your outside voice with the person next to you when you're still only 23 feet away from the person throwing. I've just noticed a really bad trend of people disregarding general quietness as a spectator.
Etiquette. Yeah. Yes. Well, and here's what I'm going to say. If you're listening to this, you're probably smart enough to not do that. You're speaking to people who probably are
maybe
not.
Maybe. You just know? Yeah.
They're
just
a little more casual viewers, as opposed to our beautiful and dedicated audience.
Our smashies, the best ones ever. It feels like it's a growing trend of people just having a disregard. They're like, they're there watching disc golf, which is awesome that we have these fans and these galleries, but they're talking at normal levels with definitely, I've said it before, if I can hear you, and I'm deaf in one ear, the players can definitely hear you. And I'm not saying you have to sit there and never say a word, but just do it more quietly and discreetly or at the appropriate times. If you're going to, and if you don't want to be quiet, then wander off into not near the players. That's all. And I want to say it because it's getting worse. And maybe it's just the level of tournaments I'm at.
The players are just going to have to up their game, my friend. If I want to talk, that's too bad for them.
I guess that's another way to look at it. I mean,
I know it sounds silly, but we watch, and I just know it's like a different golf culture, golf or basketball, when people are throwing free throws.
It.
Like,
mm-hmm.
The minute you get a big group together, it's going to be more and more difficult to wrangle them.
They somehow manage it in golf.
I agree. There is a much more buttoned up peer pressure to that than there has been.
Well, or just the fact of getting thrown out. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the fact of getting thrown. And if the DGPT, if we want to enforce that, if somebody is yelling, you know, if Paul Macbeth is lining up a putt from 45 feet and someone right away yells, "Put it in, Paul," as he's swinging through and just keep repeatedly yells these things, then certainly we're I think you have a conversation with that person, and if they keep it up, they're gone. It's going to be the nice thing about doing an actual ticketing system for spectators is that there's going to be more responsibility as opposed to just like an open golf event or an open park event that we had in the past.
Well, Ray asked a great question, which I don't know if we're there yet. And I guess it would go along with exactly what Johnny's saying. And as to what's happening, he asks, are players allowed to ask for spectators to get tossed? I mean, I'll say that largely would start with the venue.
I think it would depend on the
ticketing
situation.
And venue, right?
Well,
I mean, it would have to start there. I mean, you can't ask someone, like, I'll just use, and I know this is very different, and they're not on the Pro Tour right now, but look at the Memorial, for instance. If you're on the sidewalk mm-hmm. being just loud and obnoxious, there's nothing really anyone can do about it.
Correct.
However, you go to Maple Hill, which is private property. You go to the LVC, which is used at the golf course at Wild Horse, which is treated like private property or for the weekend at least. Like, so there's just different scenarios where that could or couldn't play out. But almost every venue on the Pro Tour.
I think every venue this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think of an Idlewild. Like, clearly, you know, if they have a gate ticketing system, then that's very different than if people are just allowed to come to the park and to watch and then being asked to leave. And then what authority do you have to get someone to leave? Yeah, Waco, you know, that's, you know, at a public park.
Yeah, if someone's standing outside that fence and didn't buy a ticket, or I don't know how exactly the Waco park is situated, that would be much more difficult.
Yeah, so there's some questions there. Can a player ask? I don't know that they can right now, or I don't know. Short answer is I don't know.
We're gonna probably can ask. We're gonna find out in the next few years. Let's see if we can get Terry kicked out of a Pro Tour.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I probably could. I'd take my damn microphone with me, though. You'd have to go find a new mic. We kicked out Terry,
and now we have no mic.
Uh huh. all right, get in the hole. Every throw, I know that does definitely get obnoxious. Didn't a guy run into the field and get tackled by a player in the Chiefs Bills game? I think I did see a highlight of that sort.
I didn't actually see the highlight. What I saw was they came back from commercial and they went to the field and Tony Romo's talking, and in the corner of the screen you suddenly see some rustling. And it looked like someone went for the ball or went to be like the center, got on the field, and then they cut away to the wide shot from the top of the stadium while the announcers are talking and filling time, because the NFL never shows someone doing that because they don't want to promote that and make it more popular. And so I haven't seen behind the scenes, but there's always fan cams that come out of that stuff. And someone said Stephon Diggs gave him a good shove.
Now here, and it's funny because for a totally different reason, when I do see the footage of that happening, all I think about is maybe as gratifying or satisfying as it feels for him to tackle or remove, like, just think of the liability he's setting himself up for as he tackles this spectator or this patron or this ticket goer or this whatever ticket holder.
And the guy's a heart attack.
Yeah, the guy, anything happens, broken shoulder or PTSD, you name it. I'm just, you know, think of our litigation happy, you know, world that we're in. And maybe there is a serious injury or not a serious injury. And then just think about how Diggs specifically sets himself up for, you know, I mean, who's going to go after a millionaire real quick?
I know, but I'm sure there are some sort of liability things on the back of your ticket talking about
if you get tackled by a player because your jackass ran onto the field, bad.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm sure difficult. There's some waivers, but within reason, too, because nobody's expecting getting tackled by a football player that's not wearing a uniform. Expecting to be.
If you run on the field?
yeah, you're still not.
Yes, you are. I'm sorry. If you run on that field, if you run on that field, I've seen enough players hit spectators or knock them down or check them.
Still don't think it's legit.
I have no problem with it. You are on the field
of play. I'm not saying I mind it personally.
I think it's legit.
But no.
At that point, that's it's self-defense. You don't know what you don't know what that person's doing out on the field.
No.
You don't know if they're out there with a weapon. You don't know if they're out there to cause harm. That is a self-defense or we'll say a citizens type thing. If you saw somebody walk into a store with brandishing a knife,
mm-hmm.
and you knocked them down.
Okay.
You're
probably A, still going to get sued because that's how effed up our society
probably.
Is. But B, that's very different than some guy who runs onto the field, grabs a football and starts running. And one of the mm-hmm. players from either team is going to go tackle that guy. I'm not saying I don't appreciate it.
We all appreciate it.
I don't appreciate it. I'm just saying you are setting yourself up for potential trouble. And it's not really within your realm. You are not paid as the football player. That is what security mm-hmm. is for. That is what the officials are for. That is not your job to go tackle that guy. Okay, even the official, whomever.
I can understand where you're coming from, and I agree to a point. I am just saying that you see somebody run on the field, and whether they go for the ball or they're just out there running around, taking their shirt off because they've had too much to drink, you don't know that person's
intentions
or mental condition at that point, whether it's uh-huh. been too much drugs.
So you think tackling,
drugs, alcohol.
You think as the professional football player,
stopping them.
It is your.
I think it's your. I think
job.
I think
duty.
It's not duty or
responsibility.
Job. None of those. But I think you are within your rights to subdue a person, and you do that in whichever means. I'm. Guess what? I'm 245 pounds of pure muscle, and you're some slightly overweight drunk kid who's 19 years old running around on a field. I'm sorry that it doesn't take me much effort to knock you down, especially in full pads. Just putting it out there.
Right.
Yeah, and remember that. And someone said, "Yeah, remember the dude that jumped onto the tennis court and stabbed the woman in the back 20 years ago now."
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you see something like that, you just don't know. You don't know intent. You don't know. I think at that point, as funny as it is, at that point it becomes fair game. Like it's almost more fun that way. So, but yeah, you don't know. Listen, I've seen. Oh, crap! What was the movie? I've seen The Last Boy Scout, where you've got Bruce Willis up in the stands. It's like an old 90s, and he more or less there's somebody trying to shoot football players.
Okay, that's very different.
It is 100%
different. Very different. Again, just like your weapon brandishing a firearm.
Different. But I've seen
that
The Last Boy Scout.
That is very different. All right? You preventing somebody from shooting somebody else,
that's
I think,
a great, that's
is
a great
good.
Movie. Bruce Willis saves the day, of course.
Is there any movie where he doesn't?
I guess technically The Sixth Sense.
okay.
He doesn't save anybody there. Monica Seles, yes. She was the tennis player.
I knew it
player
started with an S. I was trying to think of who it was.
Got
yes.
stabbed in the back.
Okay, that sounds... Okay, we'll go with that. Ray says, like, if a player totally shanks a drive off the tee directly into someone's face, that spectator was not in the way. You know, and it's funny because...
But I think we talked about this like 2 weeks ago again. When you go on to a golf course, you are assuming responsibility. Just like if you're in a stands at a hockey game. If you read the back of your ticket, there are... You're basically mm-hmm. signing away liability rights.
All right. Kenny says, yeah, the after show where we talk about things other than pickleball. I know, because what Disc Golf Podcast doesn't usually just segue right into things like pickleball. I hear you. All right. Disc Golf Luke says the player had the gun because he had to score the pay debt, so he shot the... Also, that's funny, because earlier when I was thinking about some sponsorships, I'm assuming this is the same Disc Golf Luke it is. Disc Golf Luke from right here in Wisconsin, trying to knock off team captain Andrew Marweed over there at Team DGA. Disc Golf Luke, I believe, recently picked up by DGA. So congratulations to him. And certainly check out, he does a lot of great trick shots and really fun challenges that you probably can't do. Check him out on TikTok. That is Disc Golf Luke. Good to hear from you and see you out there, buddy.
I'm not on the Disc Golf TikToks. I can't.
I mean, Madison, if she didn't make a play for it earlier, I don't know who does. But I keep telling my kids I'm going to start. And they say, yeah, you said that last week. I'm going to start. And I just have to find the right... I don't want to say niche. I want to find the right, I don't want to say content either.
Well, that's
just the right angle of how I want to go about and what I feel like I want to have for a presence on there. I'm not getting into all of the trendy TikTok dances.
You should. And, that could attract some.
You know? Oh my gosh. That would not be a good idea.
Shirtless, please.
Yes, yes, of course. So look for those. I feel like some behind the scenes stuff I think some people would really enjoy when we're at events.
Yes,
and
I do agree
access to some of the players, some of them that are a little more forthcoming, gives us some info, maybe some owl calls.
Just follow Madison, like
Madison
around.
Yeah.
Maybe what you need to do is learn some bird calls and hide make the calls around Madison and see.
And then see
watch
if I
your
can...
kind of look around. Like, what is that?
That would be a good idea because it doesn't sound creepy at all.
Is that the red-headed bearded woodpecker?
Oh, the male ones are much better looking. Yes, definitely. That's what they always say. All right. All right. Reading off the board, what if there's no ticket and one of those people is on the sidewalk? Yeah,
that's a whole different situation.
Yeah, I will say, though, that is such a huge point for the Disc Golf Pro Tour is having, I'll use my own phrase, a controllable venue. Something that isn't just public parks with public access at any time. Those are all components that go into venue and course development course development for the Disc Golf Pro Tour. Those things are crucial. All right. Ray says, does anyone actually look forward to the Winter Olympics?
Yeah, I think some people do. I was just thinking, because right when you said that, all I thought of, or the first thing that popped in my head was Shaun White, who's going for his supposedly final Olympics. That's what he said, and that's what everyone's selling it as. But with snowboarding, I guess I don't know. I mean, he's got to be in his upper 30s.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and so just in general, I think some people do get excited for it.
35 still looks like the guy from American Pie.
Still does, yeah. So, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if at 39 he did it again.
Yeah.
So, why not if you're still doing it? It feels like this might be his last one just based on commercials and things. I have no inside information with Shaun White, unfortunately. I don't know why, but I really enjoy watching. I mean, everyone likes watching curling. It's like the one time a year
anybody
cares about curling, mm-hmm. Unless you're in the local curling club, which Milwaukee has a relatively large one.
Oh yeah.
I like watching the cross country skiing and shooting.
Mm.
I don't know why, but there's just something fun about it. Like watching these people just ski with this gun slung into their back, and then suddenly have to stop, line up shots, and probably hit 9 out of 10 of them. And then they have to go again. So,
yeah.
There's something, it doesn't sound right, but there's something peaceful about just watching these people on these long ass courses just cross country ski.
I'd go as far as saying, I don't think I get too amped up or jacked up about any of...
I love the luge. I love watching luge. You know? Mm. Two-man, four-man, single-man. Like, was it Skull? Where they're, I think they're feet first. There's only one guy on his back as opposed to the...
Of course, the Jamaican team, right?
Well, yeah, they're my favorite. I mean, R.I.P. John Candy.
Yeah. All right. Another something that came in that I was reading. Sorry. NBC is trying their best to sell it, but you're struggling. I can understand that. Oh, someone asked if there's going to be a special live interview on Smashbox with Kat tomorrow. That's a great question. In fact, Johnny called me and had asked if that's something that we could potentially hunt down Katrina for, or maybe even have kind of an interview with her potentially even tonight that then we could release. I like the idea.
Ahead. Skeleton, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, very very forward thinking on your part, Johnny.
Someone's got to be the brains.
yes. I just wander around. That thought was talked about, and I had said, I feel like, I don't want to say I feel like the time had come and gone, but if she wanted to be intentional or her sponsors wanted to be intentional about having it on Wednesday, it didn't feel like it would be necessarily sincere, or it'd feel kind of weird to have it and then release it the next day. I don't know. I'll be the first to admit, it just didn't excite me the way that I'd say our normal live interviews do. Have we ever pre-recorded an interview?
We haven't.
387 shows in, and we've never really pre-recorded. Now, I know you're asking, you said, well, maybe we could have a special edition. If Kat wanted to do that, we could possibly find a way to make that happen, but... I got a lot of stuff going on, and if that doesn't necessarily jump out at her or them, them being the sponsor, as a special initiative they want to take, I'm going to be the first to admit, I wasn't jumping all over about the idea of hunting down that interview and making it all happen, partially, and this is my own fault, partially because I know where she's going. And that's not a rip on the sponsor. It's because I've known for a while, and therefore some of the genuine
excitement,
anticipation and excitement for me has kind of slowed. That's all I can say. I mean, there's no disrespect to her sponsor or Kat or anything like that. It's just something within me, and maybe call that a journalistic flaw.
Like Whammo would be very upset at that.
Call it a journalistic flaw, if you will, but...
Lightning Discs takes offense to that.
I don't want to say it feels like it's old. By tomorrow when it's renewed... That's a good way to put it. By tomorrow when it is announced, it will feel like old news to me.
Sure.
And that's all. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim's got it right. I'm just the eye candy here. Watch Kat pull a KJ and announce she is joining Prodigy for another 4 years. That would be a heck of a twist.
That would be a fun twist.
That certainly would be. Eric, a good piece there, says, excited for the Skins match at Eagles Crossing. That was talked a little bit. It hit the internets this week.
That's going to be Scott Stokely, Brody Smith, Eagle McMahon, and Ricky Wysocki.
And April? Does that sound right?
In April? I don't know when.
Okay. I'm going to say April. I'm going to make that up.
Someone made the joke, like, it was nice to get $12,000 for Eagle and Ricky there, assuming that Brody and Stokely wouldn't get any, which I don't necessarily think is true.
No, especially when it comes to things like a Skins match.
Yeah, and at that course, which is highly, extremely difficult for every person, I think that anybody has a chance to pick up a good shot, throw one in, no matter who you are. I think it could be interesting. I'm curious to see how it goes.
Okay. Oh, you guys caught my hints, which if you think I tried to make a hint and or slipped up, then I'm just being ignorant, so... I wouldn't put too much stock in anything I just said. That should be the ultimate disclaimer for every podcast, by the way.
You're not wrong. Here's a spoiler. I know she's not going to Prodigy.
Ah, Johnny.
We're not going to see the KJ.
Okay. Elijah says it's like Dismania's hype video just to say stay tuned for next week. Okay. There are some big releases coming out. I was going to say a number of manufacturers. I can't even show preference to any one of them. You're going to see some big releases coming out. Lots of things going on. I don't know that I have a lot more here, Johnny.
Nor do I. I think we kind of went over everything. I mean, we got all the pickleball stuff out in the regular show. So I mean, what is left to talk about?
Yeah, that's a good call.
All we can do right now is probably just give something away, Terry Miller.
Well, that sounds like a good thing to do. Let's give some action away. Of course, you become eligible in doing so to win some of this sweet, sweet weekly action. Any support via our Patreon page, that's patreon.com/SmashboxTV. If you support us in any regard at any level there, that makes you eligible for the weekly giveaways that take place every week right around this time of the show. Hours and hours in, we pull down the list of everyone that is currently supporting us via Patreon.
And the people that sign up on the website.
Yes, you can do that as well. And once we pull down that list, we then randomly generate a number or two or three, and then we correspond that to the downloaded list that Johnny V had just downloaded literally moments ago. And then I will usually then reach out to said person and confirm a mailing address and or size or possibly a disc preference or maybe a beef jerky preference. It depends on what we're giving away that week. But whatever the case might be, I then will send something out to you.
So let's give something away, Terry Miller.
All right. I don't know what it's going to be, but we'll find something to give away. I got lots of discs to give away. Maybe an MVP disc of sorts. Well, if Madison would get us some, then we can give some. I'll find something to give away for you guys. Usually it's going to be at least of a $10 to $12 retail value. That's at minimum. Can be upwards of $15, $20, $30. We've given away all sorts of stuff, but I'll find something to give away to one lucky randomly selected winner tonight. You ready to do this?
I am ready. We have 180 people eligible for this giveaway this Boom. week. So Terry, how do you I sorted them by address. So if you do not happen to have your address in Patreon, you got put towards the bottom of the list.
All right,
so people who do have it, which usually are our higher Patreon supporters, so we can do things like, you know, the shirts, the give or the clothing, the discs, the mini support, things like that, tend to request an address in Patreon. So Terry, what are we doing?
I don't know. We head over to random.org. As you said, we've got 180 people, and it's not fun just to generate the very first number. So let's go with, I don't know. I mean, I just released 4 videos on the MPO side, 4 videos on the FPO side of the Jubilee. That's what you were thinking too. So I think the lucky number should be 4. The fourth number you generate should correspond to some random person on our spreadsheet. Not so random person.
So it's not going to be number 145. It's not going to be number 12. It's not going to be 14.
Ooh-wee. Give us somebody with an address.
It is Give us going something to be early. 142, probably someone without an address. You're going to have to reach out to them and get the address. But let me find out what 142 is. Let me go to my list here.
Heading on over to the spreadsheet so we can correspond that.
Joseph A. Thomas.
Yeah, so, buddy.
Congratulations, Joseph. Thank you for being a Patreon supporter. Your address is blank. you are a supporter. So thank you very much, Joseph. Speaking of which, I need to reach out because we're going to have to ask him to put his address in based on his support level.
Yes. Thank you so much, Joseph. Again, I will shoot you an email. And I don't think Joseph has ever won before, so, I'll shoot you an email and confirm what we have for a mailing address, and we'll get something shipped out to you. All right, I'm going to read a few last things on the board, see if there's anything specific. I have a Smashbox autograph disc hanging on my wall. That's awesome, Ken. We appreciate the support. Sam says, just keep spinning until I win. Sam, that wouldn't be fun for everybody else. I'm thinking these giveaways are fake, but we all love them too much to say anything. No, not true at all, Ray. There's a number of people. What I think we need to do is be more encouraging of once people win something that they do
to
photo
post
it.
A picture.
Yeah, post it and tag us. So
it's
that
weird
we can,
that it's always your family that's taking those pictures. I'm just kidding. It's always your daughters and dressed up in different outfits. Hey, look, yeah. I won again. I'm Sam Martinson.
We just let them play this. All right. Ray, I once... Yeah, see, Sam has won. Guys, we have to thank you so much, guys, gals, and everyone. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight. We hope you found a little bit of fun, maybe a little bit of value even, but mainly, hopefully, fun in sitting with us for a couple hours, whether it was during the regular show or here in the after show. Next week, I'm going to probably have some Maricopa Meadows updates, some Maricopa Open. Maybe we'll have a champion from an FPO or MPO side join us on the show if that works out. I know someone like Adam Hammes is going for a three-peat. He was taken down by his good friend Anthony Barella a few weeks ago at Shelly Sharp. So may we see a rematch there. And then, of course, plenty of other strong contenders. Also, we'll mark the one-year anniversary of discovering the super skills of one Holland Hanley. So always fond memories. Mm. Also a good trivia question is that AB accepted his first ever professional cash at the Maricopa Open. What year? Well, that's for you to look up because I don't remember. But it did happen at this event. So lots of great memories and looking forward to making more this weekend. So we're going to sign off for Johnny V and myself, Terry Miller, the Disc Golf Guy. This has been Podcast 387's After Show. We love you. Thank you for supporting us. And we love our Patreon subscribers even more. We'll see you next week when you step inside the Smashbox.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.